Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. Hope your Ignite conference is going quite well. Yeah? So far, so good. It's awesome. My name is Ele Ocholi. I'm a program manager with the Microsoft Intune team up in Cambridge, actually. And I'm really glad that I've had the opportunity to work on some of the early versions of Microsoft Intune, and then to return to the team recently with a focus on iOS and Mac devices, and to work on some new features that we've already delivered and a whole lot more coming that I'm really excited to tell you. So before I get going too much, how many people today use Intune to manage iOS and or Mac devices in their environment? Wow, okay, so that's about half of you. Well, I'm sure even for the rest of you, there are a whole lot of users in your environment that want to use this or this to access company data. And so today, I'm going to be walking through just how you can use Intune to help enable those users, but fundamentally give you the peace of mind that all those devices are secure. And this just fits into our vision in enterprise mobility, which I'm sure you've seen this slide in various other talks. But the idea is across platforms, across form factors, we'll help you manage your devices, your apps, and the data in them. So that the aim is not to lock down users and, you know, control as much as you can. No, the aim is really to enable your users while giving you the peace of mind that you need. And so when we think of devices in the enterprise, they fall in some, there are different ways to look at this, and they fall in different categories. So first, there's the more IT-managed, fully IT-managed devices that you can think of, where it may be a shift worker, various types of information workers who come and share a device. And then you have some that are more employee managed. This could actually be their corporate device given to them as their primary, or just a companion device that they bring in and they want to be able to do some work on it. And even within that, you have the more heavily managed corporate devices that are fully MDM enrolled. You have some of the companion devices I spoke to that may or may not be MDM enrolled, but they're not so much their primary work devices. And then you may have even some of those that you don't even want to MDM enroll them at all. All you care about is managing the apps and the data on those devices. And then there's a category for more foreign managed, as you think of contractors or vendors who come into your environment. Or maybe it's just a public kiosk somewhere that you don't know who set it up, you don't know who manages it, and yet you have that subset of your users who want to go in there and get access to email or log on and do certain things. Now, another way to look at this, as we kind of bring that together, is there is this big, or small, depending on how you look at it, scale of managed devices. Where on one end, you think of what is traditionally corporate devices, you want full management, control everything on that device. You're at peace knowing that you have a high level of trust for those devices, and then you add on some amount of app or data management. And then on the other side, you have what we historically would think of as more BYO devices, where there's a minimal amount of device management, sometimes no device management. And the focus here is a lot more on the app and the data within that app and managing those. And there's a lot less trust of those devices. And yet, even as I speak to many of you, whether it's at the booth or different customer calls, we know that the historic mindset of, oh, this is a corp device, this is a BYO device, it really depends on your particular industry, your particular environment. So there are cases where you would think, oh, it's a corporate device, we bought it, we gave it to them, but yet your users still require a certain amount of trust and refuse to have those devices that are so locked down. Or they may actually bring their own device in, but yet you're in a highly managed industry, a highly regulated industry, and this, you need to be able to control those devices a lot more if users are going to be able to get access. And so we know that where you lie on this spectrum, on this scale of device management, really depends on your individual your individual situation. And so today, we're going to walk through what Apple has provided and what Intune has built on top of what Apple has provided to help you manage these devices. We'll talk a bit about recent things that we've added and some things that are upcoming as well. And then we'll double-click and dive in a bit more into app management. Sound good? So let's think of full management here. In Apple's world, full management, corporate devices, there are three big things that come to mind for them. There's pre-enrollment, out-of-box enrollment, Apple DEP. So that's the device enrollment program. Just a quick question. How many people here know what Apple's device enrollment program is? OK, that's quite a bit. I would say almost 75, 80%. How many people are actually using Apple's device enrollment program? It's a lot less. So that's down to, say, 40% maybe. OK. Well, we're going to walk through what that looks like a bit and why you should consider it for your environment. Then the next step there is supervised, or supervised devices, or supervised mode. I'm also going to talk a bit more about what that gets you. And then there's apps deployed primarily via volume purchase, so that users don't have to pay for these apps. And Apple actually provides ways to deploy both to users and to devices. And then you make choices around whether this is a kiosk device that you know your users. There's no particular user tied to this. Or a retail point of sale type of device that people will come, use it, and put it down. Or it is going to be a primary device for a person, and you want to enroll it in a user-based way, where you would then pair it a lot of times with our company portal. I'm going to dive a bit more into DP, but some of the big things that come out of the DP program is you can lock an MDM profile to the device, where in all other cases, the user can actually go and remove that profile. Locking it makes it 100% sure that that device will always be managed by you in your environment. And then we've also mentioned the supervised mode. Now, on the other side, as we're talking about, there's a lighter weight management. In Apple's world, that still means enrollment. But there's a lot of controls that they provide with supervised that will not apply to the standard kind of device that is enrolled, even with the MDM, even through the standard MDM profile. But here, the idea is typically fully user-based as well, enrollment. And you always think of apps assigned to users, not really a device-based type of mindset. I throw in conditional access and compliance here because a lot of times that has to do with particular users bringing in their own devices, and you want to be able to gate their access to company data and company apps. And so there's a bigger emphasis on this side when it comes to app-based management. There have been quite a few sessions already talking about compliance and conditional access. I'm not going to focus too much on that during this session. There was a great session yesterday on protecting Office and SaaS apps using Microsoft Intune that really dug deep into what we provide with conditional access and compliance that I recommend you go watch again. But I'll show you a bit in there of just where you would set these things up. Some of the things that also come with our company portal include jailbreak detection. That I also dig into a bit deeper. And again, I remember, in your environment, the idea is you know what BYO really means to you. You know what corporate really means to you. And the idea here is just to give you the tools to be able to enable the right amount of protection that you need for both classes or along that whole device spectrum. So before we dig in a bit deeper into what everything is, I'm just going to show you what a DEP flow would look like. Just make sure my computer wakes up. Awesome. So, we set the stage. What do you walk through? Firstly, you have to enroll in the DEP program, of course. And with DEP, there are specific resellers or sellers of devices that you can sign up with. Now, since a lot of you already know a lot about that program, I'm not going to dive too deeply in there. But when you come to our console, you have to perform a handshake across both services. So here is our Intune admin portal. Under iOS and Mac, you would click on the device enrollment program over here. And so this is where you would download an encryption key, take that encryption key and upload it into Apple's site, or Apple's services there for deploy at apple.com. And there, you would also assign devices that you have bought to the MDM server that you have set up using that encryption key. And so this is what it would look like. Here, where after you set up an MDM server with that encryption key, you now download a token from deploy.apple.com. And then after that, you would assign the devices that show up within your console on Apple site. You would then assign it to the MDM server that you've set up. And so when you come back in here, you hit sync. And then you can now go to our groups. And under corporate pre-enrolled devices by iOS serial number, the devices would automatically be synced into your console and you would have it over here. Now, the thing about DEP is you can now go create a configuration profile that will be automatically pushed to the device as soon as the user logs, the user turns on the device. And so I'm going to show you what that looks like. Here, under our policies UI, near the bottom, there is corporate device enrollment. I've gone ahead to create a profile here, but if I hit edit, we can walk through some of the things we have there. So here you can decide if you want it to be assigned to a user, or you just want it to be a userless device. You can actually put in a group that you want this device to automatically be assigned to. And the beauty there is that you can already assign profiles, Wi-Fi, VPN, configurations that will be downloaded onto the device right after it's enrolled. Next, you put in some other information around the department, support phone number, and this is where you set up that supervised setting I was talking about. And we'll dive in a bit deeper into why you want to do that coming. And then the setup assistant screens. When you first launch, when you first turn on your Apple device, we're going to walk through some of that now, you can now define which screens the user has to go through. And so either from here, you can go ahead and assign it to the devices that have already shown up. Or you can do the same thing from the device view in the groups. But here it's assigned to this policy. And so now I'm going to switch over to our device. Hola. Awesome. So you're going to walk through what happens. At this point, with peace of mind, you're just going to buy devices and ship them to the different locations, whether it's retail, whether it's different schools, whether it's, I was talking to a customer the other day, and they were in the construction industry, and they had to have their users at the different sites. Half the time, they would need a new device, and so they just go order one. With a DEP account, you can just have one shipped to them right away. And once they launch, choose Wi-Fi, set up. And while it's activating, you see here, Apple is going to talk to Intune to pull down the profile it needs and put that onto the device for you. So you hit next, and there you go. In this case, I did ask for user affinity for this to be assigned to a user. So at this point, I will go in and log on. I believe I have to set this up again today, so. To remember which password goes with whom. All right. And so at this point, the concept of an enrolled or managed device is one where the configuration profile for your particular MDM provider is now down on the device. So that has been pulled down. And then certain requirements have to be met by the user, of course, setting up a PIN by default with Apple devices now. And you can enter an Apple ID because I allowed it there. I will skip this for now. Agree to terms and conditions, and you're ready to go. If I had gone beforehand and already assigned certain profiles for Wi-Fi, for VPN, configurations, perhaps set it up with kiosk mode already, all that will be done within a few minutes of it already reaching this point. And so you have a device that is good to go from the user's point of view. One thing that I would recommend at this, or we do recommend at this point, is if it really is going to be a user device, we would recommend they would go in and then download the company portal, which provides some of those extra conveniences for the user. Actually, I will search for Intune company portal. And then I'm going to install that. What? You could push it as well, in which case the user will then be prompted to enter the Apple ID in order to get that app. So he asked if I could push the company portal through Intune. So I'm going to use an existing ID. And as much as I trust all 1,000 friends of mine in this room, no, it's that guy in the basement that I'm concerned about. It's the guy in the basement. It's not none of you. Don't worry. I trust you. Let's put that in there. Some of these passwords. All right, so I put in my password. Much better connection in here than my hotel room. So I'm going to go ahead and open the company portal and log in there. Now, this is also what they would go through even if it wasn't bought using the DEP program. Here would recommend, oh, you have a device you've brought in. Well, go download our company portal, and then you log in and start the flow. Come on, there we go. So at this point, it goes to authenticate. And here, I'm going to pause. You see the device enrollment and then device compliance. Even through the DEP program, after the user logged in and the management profile was put down, the thing is that doesn't get you all the way to using compliance. With compliance, the device needs to be registered with Azure Active Directory. And so when you go through this enrollment flow using our company portal, it does both the enrollment, if it hasn't been done, as well as the workplace join, we call it sometimes, but the AAD registration. And that's what enables you to have those scenarios around compliance, conditional access, and so on. We added a few more screens in here just to help users with the various concerns around privacy and some of these things to help explain to them what's happening and what we're not trying to do and the reasons you should enroll your device. Because we find some customers, they have issues with some of their users when it comes to going through this process and trusting. And so we tell them what's coming next, how we're going to go through it all. Now, this only comes up if, in this case, because the device was pre-enrolled with Intune. And so here, the user is just meant to confirm the device that they're on. And then they have to have the serial number, an extra added layer, so to make sure it's the right device that they have, and they're not trying to do it on behalf of someone else. Okay. So that's going to be G5VJ. And so it's working in the background to sync with our servers. Make sure everything is set on the Intune side. At that point, typically, the management profile, when it's about to be installed, the user still has to OK it. But in this case, the device was gotten with DEP and supervised. And so Apple knows it's a corporate device, and there's less clicks for the user. That's one of the big things you get with corporate devices, particularly with the supervised mode. And we'll dig into this a bit more afterwards. But now we have success. It's fully enrolled, it's registered with AAD, and so you have the full set of scenarios that apply to the user assigned devices as well. And so you're done here. If we go back to our portal, you can now see the device is in there. It's assigned as corporate. Operating system, some additional information. And here you can see it's AAD registered, the serial number, and different bits of information that come to this device, as well as the user it's assigned to. And so now the user is fully in to the system from an enrollment point of view. Again, the key with DEP is that device did not touch your hands. It did not need to come through you. You did not need to go through everything to get it set up. You can buy, ship, with peace of mind, knowing that the user just has to go through a few steps, as many as you define, really about logging in. If it wants to be for a particular user, they log in twice. But ultimately, it's a very smooth process, hence why we recommend it for core corporate scenarios. And to be fair, if you can, for as many scenarios as you want that MDM profile to be locked to your device, knowing it's going to be corporate for you. So let's take a step slightly lower. What happens between all the pieces involved in MDM management or in device management with Intune? You have four big players here. There's the Intune Cloud services, Apple's cloud services, and then on the device itself, the company portal is a big piece of what we do, hence why it's a big piece, and then the center of the world is Apple's MDM agent. So let's walk through the device lifecycle. First, as we demonstrated, there's the enrollment flow. It could be either initiated by the user through the company portal, typically initiated by the user through the company portal, via Intune services, and then the MDM agent is asked to lay down that management profile onto the device. And then we send inventory back. Next, you deploy a certain amount of policies, configuration profiles, and even when you send remote commands like lock, wipe, that's the Intune service communicating directly with the MDM agent on the device. During device check-in, that's when the device effectively phones home every 8 or so hours, just to make sure that all the config profiles are up to date, that any policies assigned are there. Now, this also happens right after enrollment, and the user could actually go into the company portal and hit async to update some of that information on the device. We spoke about the DP program and VPP. In this case, you have Apple's cloud services communicating with Intune after you do a bit of a handshake for security. And then Apple, on behalf of Intune, performs certain actions on the device, again, through the MDM agent, typically. Next thing is about apps. Line of business apps, you just deploy directly from Intune services, and then it gets sent down to the device, again, through the MDM agent. There's no interaction with Apple's services there. But when it comes to App Store apps, you effectively ask the MDM agent on behalf of Intune or on behalf of the user to go pull down certain devices. And then the user enters their Apple ID if it's needed or if it's assigned to a device, not so much. And then the last piece of this flow is retirement. Again, you can initiate from company portal or from the admin console. And then the MDM agent pulls off that management profile. And the key here is everything else that was done by the MDM agent on behalf of the owner of that profile, that is Intune, is also pulled off the device as well. So you have a lot more peace of mind that it's just the things that you did through that MDM agent that are going to be impacted on the device and will get pulled off that device. And so that's a kind of summary of all the things you can do here. We walk through the DP program. The big benefits are wirelessly pre-configuring your devices, streamlining that setup assistant flow, and locking the management profile to the device. The thing is, the device must be purchased from Apple or an authorized DP reseller. Now, that being said, for a lot of you, they're like, well, I already have a whole bunch of devices that I didn't buy from a DP reseller. I didn't buy through the DP program, I should say. If the organization you bought it from is still a DP reseller, Apple has or provides a way for some of them to move certain devices back into the DP program. And so we actually had a customer 2 weeks ago who said they went back to AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint and said, okay, all these devices we bought from you, they weren't part of DP, but we need them to be in DP. And they actually helped them put them back into. So it is worth going to investigate. It wouldn't necessarily work for all devices, but to get some of the benefits of this, it is worth trying. I say that because of that supervised mode. The supervised mode is really built for the center of the corporate world. That is, Apple provides a lot more MDM restrictions for you as an IT admin or you in the company to control on a device if that device is supervised. That's when they know it truly is a corporate device. And also, isn't it annoying when your users, you know, they always have to keep okaying every install of everything or every little change that the MDM agent is trying to make on a device? Again, Apple's mindset is, if it's supervised, we know it's corporate, so we're gonna trust you, the MDM agent, a lot more than we're trusting the users, or as much as we trust the users. Otherwise, it is the user's device and every little thing they need to okay as much as possible. And so you can think for doing certain things around using the kiosk mode, so locking a device to a particular application, you need it in supervised mode. If you want to disable certain things like AirDrop, I actually have a list of some of what we've added and I'll walk you through that. It needs to be in supervised mode. And that silent app install, particularly around the line of business apps, just installing them down in the background, if it's set in supervised mode, the user never has to interact with those. It will just show up on a device. How do you get it there? We already talked about DP. At this point, the only other way Apple provides is to use a tool they call the Apple Configurator. Now, this tool requires you to use a Mac OS machine, and then you can go through, and in addition to setting devices up in supervised mode, you can configure almost everything Apple provides MDM vendors to be able to configure in terms of configuration settings, payloads, things of that nature. You can do it through Apple Configurator. Now, in this case, it requires you to touch the device. If you were, for example, going to set up a device that wasn't in supervised mode into supervised mode, And so that's why it is worth going to talk to your vendor, to the locations you buy Apple devices from. Can you get it through that process? Because then it's no longer something that you have to do. It's something that will be done for you the moment you change the setting in our IT admin console. What else can you do with Apple Configurator? So before we go back into the UI, there are certain settings that over time we're building as Intune into our UI. But if you need to, and these are bits of functionality that Apple has put into the OS that we don't yet support. If you need to get those now and use them right now, you can use Apple Configurator to set up some of that and then deploy it to your users through what we call custom configuration policies, which we're going to see right now. And so you can think examples are certain VPN type of profiles or settings that we don't necessarily support directly through our UI, or setting up web content filtering in some ways, or a global proxy. Let's see what that looks like. Let's log back on. Sorry. Take some water. All right. So this is now on macOS machine. We have Apple Configurator 2. That's the program that you get for free from the Mac App Store. But again, it requires this device if you want to use this UI. The thing is, all these payloads are actually publicly documented online. And so you could handcraft some of these. And in some cases, people have put up pre-crafted versions that you could go in and edit. But you can set various types of restrictions that we support in our UI, but just to show you where a lot of those are. Domains, global proxy, as I mentioned. For the purposes of this demo, I'm going to focus on something a bit simpler, which is just put in a lock screen message on the device. As you see here, it's actually supervised only. It only applies to supervised devices. But you can go in, create a lock screen message, save that. And then this is the file that comes out. So these things are typically referred to as payloads. So you go through and here's the message. And so you can take this file and upload it into our console. So this is what it looks like here. Actually, I've gone through to edit it a bit. Don't be scared. IT really loves you. You know, give them a nice warm message so they're not too scared. So at this point, you can go into our admin console, click on policy, configuration profiles, and then you can add a new profile. For each of the platforms we support, they're all there within the admin console. And here are the different things we support. Setting up Wi-Fi, VPN, SCEP if you have an NDES setup, different types of certificates, email, general configurations, as well as custom configuration, which we're focusing on here. And so in here you can test. Testing that lock screen, what they would see within the UI of the settings if they had it. So, Ikantoso lock message. And then you can go ahead and import the file. And here it is. Don't be scared, IT loves you. So, we can go ahead and save that policy and deploy it to our users. That's great. And so if we go back to the device, so down here at the bottom, you see iPad is managed by Microsoft. Intune. Let's go through and sync this device. Take some time to communicate. While that's happening, I'm going to go into the settings to show you where the profile is and how you can go in. And sometimes when you're trying to debug certain issues, it's good to go see what's actually in there on the device. So under General, there's Device Management and the management profile that Intune laid down with the information in there and all the profiles that have been put on. This item, actually, Shared Device Configuration, is what Apple called that setting that we just put. And right there, lock screen footnote, don't be scared, IT loves you. So what does that look like on the actual device? Right, turn it off and back on. You see it right there at the bottom. I can't really zoom in here, but don't be scared, IT loves you. It would be nice if that was a bit bigger, but you know, that's good feedback to give back to Apple if you want on the size of that message. But that's just a small thing there, but you could use this configuration profile this custom policy to fill some of those gaps right now, which we are actively and fully building in. And I'll talk to you about some of that great stuff that we're doing. And so that was the Apple configurator that you can use to deploy custom policies. I want to take a minute just to talk briefly about jailbreak detection. This comes with our company portal. That's one of the main reasons we recommend having that running on your device. It's not something Apple provides through the MDM channel, but we know it's a big concern, and it's typically used when you are thinking of compliance checks and all those kinds of policies. And so that's why we recommend it here. The beauty is that we also include it in all our mobile application management, that's MAM apps as well. So as long as either of those is on the device, you have peace of mind that we will be checking and reporting that back to Intune. What are some of the things we think about here? I can't tell you fully because, well, you know why. But we're checking for things like, are there locations that we're not allowed to get to? If we get to them, it's jailbroken. There are certain changes in OS behavior that we will not expect on a normal device. And so over time, we're keeping that future-proof by constantly testing against newer and more revised kits, because we know it is the cat and mouse game. But we just want to assure you that we really are keeping up with that game and trying to stay ahead to make sure that they can break through the security requirements that come with this. In addition, we continue to partner with many partners over time. And I know you've heard about the Lookout integration, potentially with Android and a little bit iOS, and it's going to continue to build so that even if there are other solutions out there that you have more confidence in, we are working with various partners to give you the right amount of peace of mind and confidence in our security solutions. So we talked about DEP, talked about VP, company portal enrolling, and some of that for the device management. Now let's talk a little bit about apps. Because of everything that we do, there's so much, I'm going to focus a bit more on iOS VPP, because that's what Apple thinks of a lot more when it comes to businesses. It's easy to discover and purchase apps. The idea is you don't want your users to be paying for certain apps themselves, which really you should pay for on their behalf. And then you can deploy these apps to the users or to devices typically through their program, as well as your own line of business apps. In order to do that, though, you would have to have your usual iOS developer account, but then you can deploy it through just to your organization for VPP. And in this process, you would enroll similar to DEP. You'll sync, get all your apps down, deploy, and be able to keep track of all the licenses and everything else for those apps, just to make sure you stay in compliance or to see just where you are for reporting purposes. And so I'm just going to show you quickly what that looks like. And so here, you can go to apps. Under this node, for volume purchased apps, come on, there you go. So everything shows up that you've purchased. The difference between this and DEP is that all you have to do is go to VPP and download that token and upload into our console, and then all of this will show up. And then you can go ahead and manage the deployment, assign to your test user. Make it a required install. And it will show up on the device once it's sent over to the user. Just in the, just quite a bit to get through, so I'll show you what that looks like once it gets down to the device. So, in addition to that, you would effectively go through a similar flow to assign non-VPP apps as well, hence why I didn't look too hard there. And so within the iOS, we've walked through a lot of what you can do there. Mac OS management. Whether it's at the booth yesterday, last week talking to other customers, there are a lot of people that over time, there is maybe that one executive or two or three who want to use their Mac devices in your environment. Or there's that small group who are very influential. And for other companies, it's like you may be a media company, you have a whole lot in there. Our vision and why we introduced this last year was, again, being able to manage all devices from all platforms that you desire on Intune. And so initially, we delivered in these three buckets, security, so being able to enroll, make sure it's there, passcode policies. Actually, we also added being able to report on compliance and non-compliant apps, and setting up disk encryption through our configuration, that is pushing Wi-Fi and VPN profiles, pushing all different types of certificates, and then using that custom policy UI I showed you earlier. And then under auditing, hardware, software inventory, and we also do report on encryption. And now, we understand that this needs to be even more compelling, a whole lot more compelling for you, and we're working hard at that. So as we transition to what's recent and what's upcoming, I'm gonna start with Mac and go back to iOS. Conditional access is the first big thing that we've actively started working on, and so watch our roadmap, it's coming soon. But the idea is, yes, let's take care of a lot of those BYO scenarios where you do want to be able to apply all your compliance policies to Macs. And so it will come with a native experience for enrollment as well to really enable conditional access on Mac devices. And then after that, we're going to keep pounding on the different asks that we have heard, including app deployment, including some certain other things. So again, watch the roadmap. I'm really excited for what's coming. Device restrictions. So over the last 6 months or so, we've delivered a whole lot of new restrictions. On the typical device, so that's non-supervised, there's requiring AirPlay passwords going out, controlling or restricting iCloud for photo sharing, for the library, sending media content on, on the devices for the regions that Apple supports so that you know certain types of media or apps can't be used on those devices, and AirDrop. But on the supervised side, you can restrict AirDrop, you can prevent users from being able to reset certain devices if you so choose, and look at that a lot more. Again, Apple's mantra is corporate devices should be supervised, and we are going to keep providing a whole lot of things there for you to be able to control. And so for those devices that you need to be in the full management side, in the full management side of things, it's through the supervised mechanism. Over time, Apple is actually deprecating a lot of settings that they provided for BYO. So they warned us that with iOS 10, in some version of it, they will start moving even more settings into the supervised section. So this is coming. That is their mindset. Supervised is really for corporate. And so the sooner you figure out in your environment the ideal way to get that there, I think you will benefit a lot more from those for, again, the really locked down scenarios. There's so many things that were added, but I do want to talk a little bit about this Hydro Apps. So Hydro Apps is something Apple introduced, 9.3. And the idea here is that instead of a traditional whitelist blacklist that may prevent things from being installed, you can actually go in and hide and show specific apps. So it doesn't matter what the user installed. If you say there's certain types of apps, like here Pokemon Go, for example, or certain things that you don't want the user to be able to use on that device, you can go and hide it. And the OS, on behalf of you, will hide all entry points to that app or to that device, to that app on that device. Okay. Just in the interest of time, I'll show you quickly what a setting looks like that I went to create beforehand. So right in our supervised section, because this is a supervised mode app, I went in there and I hid the news app for this case. But actually, the converse is to hide everything. And the settings app can be controlled, but all other apps, everything, phone, all that can all be hidden or shown. So here I decided just to show the company portal and a clock. So I'm going to go ahead and deploy that to the user. Then move. So here we have a user's device. The Adobe Acrobat that I went ahead to deploy to the user is already installed. In this case, again, I already had logged in my iTunes account, my Apple ID, and had accepted the requirement to be able to install on devices. And I'm going to go to the company portal and hit sync. And you notice whitelisted apps added. So what does that look like? Nothing. It's all gone. None of the apps are showing up. And over time, it prevents users. Here you see, OK, I should be able to launch news, right? Nope. So this is just another tool in your toolbox. Perhaps there are certain scenarios that you can use to be able to control. But if there are specific things that Thank you. If there's specific things that you do want to be able, or specific kinds of apps that you already know of that you don't want users to be able to launch, this is one way to be able to constrain them. Again, though, it is supervised only. Okay. So. Okay. So that's. It kind of depends on the scenario you're looking for. Ideally, you want to uninstall certain apps, but typically, the user will be involved in agreeing to uninstall some of those apps, depending on how they got it from the iTunes Store or not. As long as it's supervised, you will be able to prevent certain apps that you never want the user to launch. Because there is a period of time after when the app is there, the user may be able to launch it before the uninstall command comes down, or if you decide to set uninstall and the app hadn't gotten there yet, we probably won't send it again until the next device check-in. So you don't that window of time between which the app, the user could use the apps, you could actually have a hide list where you know if it gets to the device, it's not going to be launched. And that uninstall command will still come and remove that app later, if you want. I'm going to kind of push towards the end and then leave some time for questions if that's OK. All right. Now. Recently, iOS 10 came out. Apple didn't put too much in there. Some things to be aware of is that if you have PPTP VPN profiles, especially if you did deploy it through custom policies or for any of your other MDM vendors. It's not going to be supported in iOS 10. So I'm hoping you already know that. If you don't, you need to go fix that and use some other version, ideally, that we do support in the UI. Apple added a couple of restrictions. For example, being able to change whether users can enable or disable Bluetooth on their devices. It applies a bit more to Apple's education features, but they've added quite a couple of those. And so in the same way, we evaluate everything on our backlog and we continue loading them in. That's also, we've actually added that specific one, and then some of the others we'll be adding in future milestones. Coming up, you've seen a whole lot of UI at this conference and announcements around our Azure-based console. And so with that console, two of the biggest asks have been device-based BPP with Intune and multi-token support. And you will get them with our Azure-based console, right? So that's one that we've heard a lot of people talking about. There's iOS education features that we are working on. Apple released some of those recently. And the things around being able to set loss mode, find device location, and even more restrictions. I'm really excited to show you that console when it's out. I'm going to show you briefly just what it looks like. I'm not going to spend too much time here, just in the, so we can get to, ma'am. And so here's just briefly what the console is looking like. So here we already have device configurations that I've gone to set up, put in some information there. But again, email, trusted profile, some of all the other ones we support are in there. Device settings, you can go through and enable and disable the different ones that you care about. If you're going to cloud, at this point, we've decided to align a bit more with Apple and the industry in terms of just group everything together. And if it's supervised, you would see it in there that it's supervised. And so you just go to the same place for your general group of settings. And so this is just one of the things we've done there. If I switch to this, again, I'm not going to spend too much time there, but you can go in and add various tokens that you need. So if, again, multi-token support for VPP. If you're in a large type of organization that each individual member has their own VPP account, as well as being able to do device-based assignment. So that's coming. Again, next year, first quarter, watch out. It's going to be jam-packed. I'm really looking forward to showing that to you soon. OK, now app management. This is a lot of the meat of the value that Intune does provide above and beyond what the OS gives you. And so on a user's device, you have their set of corporate apps and their personal apps. And you want to have the full confidence that you will only manage what matters to you. And with our mobile application management, we do provide that to you. How many people here are already using our Intune mobile application management in their environments? Just to get a sense. OK, that's quite a bit. I would say up to 40, 50% maybe. I really encourage you to go and check this out. We have had quite a few sessions already on it. And there will be a session on Thursday, 30 minutes of strictly demos on everything you're going to get with this. And so I really recommend that you spend some of that time looking through what you have here. A big thing here is you can deploy policies on the app layer only. And so you can restrict how users do things like copy, cut, paste, and things of that nature, which I'll talk a bit more later. But for Office apps especially, where users want to use their Outlook app for their personal work, they may want to open certain documents their friends sent them with Word. Office supports multi-identity, but even within that, their core tenet is that corporate is corporate, personal is personal. And everything you control will just be on the corporate information and the corporate data. And that is fully in line with what they care about. Now, everything we do provide through Office apps, you can also apply to your own personal or your own company line of business apps, either through building it directly in, if you know the developer or if you are the developer, or using our app wrapping tool, which will allow you, again, wrap within our SDK and provide some of that added layer of security on the app level. And knowing that the moment the user logs in with their identity onto that device, it will be taken over by Intune and managed just on the app level layer. And so let's see what that looks like. And so here, I've gone into, this is already in an Azure-based UI, and again, we bring things more over time. And so within this, I've created a test policy. And so within this, you can set the general information assigned to particular user groups. And then you pick the apps that you want to target. Here, I've targeted Outlook, Word, OneDrive. You can load in your line of business apps and then assign those here too. And then within this, you can prevent iTunes and iCloud backups. You can prevent save as. You can control, cut, copy, and paste into and out of different apps. Restrict web content just to our managed browser. There's a whole lot more here that we can talk about more. You can come to the booth to check it out. Again, the MAM-based session will dive a lot deeper into a lot of these things as well. Something I do want to highlight is down here for the offline interval before app data is wiped. So in those cases where, for whatever reason, the user has prevented contact, you can set the amount of time before the app will automatically do a corporate wipe. So it doesn't need to get any extra information from you. As long as the app and our SDK knows that it's not being able to communicate with Intune, there's a set amount of time and we'll go ahead and wipe. So that's another way to add that extra layer of security on your for your content on devices that you don't necessarily trust or users that you're a bit more skeptical about, perhaps. And so, let's see what this looks like. This was the one I just created, so. Come on, demo gods. I went ahead to download Office, so Outlook, OneDrive and Word from the App Store, just to show you that this device is not enrolled. Go to General, there is no section for device management. This device is not enrolled at all. Oops. So if I go into Outlook, I put in my new user. All right. Now it asks me to go authenticate with Authenticator. Typically, you need either a company portal or Authenticator on a device to help with the authentication flow. And it's taking its sweet time. Now, I already had the authenticator in there, and I already logged on. And then this comes up. Your IT department is now helping you protect data on the app. This is not an enrolled device. But the moment you log on, and with Office, AAD, and Intune working together, the moment you log on, we know that, OK, this user has compliance in some form on at least the app level. We're going to go in and take this over. So we do this on behalf of you, very seamless for the user. And if, after this, I have to agree, and at that point, I could go in and choose to add in extra users. Whoops, that's not what I meant to open. For my device. Oh, so close, demo gods. What happened? There you go. Anyway, some of those policies included being able to require a PIN, for example, to use this. You could have decided to require Touch ID to be set up, where in this case, I didn't set that up. It would have prompted me to do that. I'm going to go ahead and make a pin. And now I have access to my content. One of the other things we set up in there was preventing cut, copy, paste. So if I go into one of the emails, I decide, oh, I got some company data. Let's open this up in Word. So because this is the first time Word is launching, it too is going to go check for requirements, data. Each time every app launches, it will go back, and this message will come up, at least the first time. You're not managing this device. The user has to be notified of everything. But at least we're making it clear that your IT department, that's you, are now involved in this. So it's clear to the user. But it's only going to be for corporate information and corporate accounts. Not sure what's happening there, but typically that's been having issues with this device. Okay. So now that I'm in here, I'm going to go through and come on. I'm going to copy some information. And let's see, let's go to a non-managed app, like Notes. And I hit paste, nothing pasted. So we do go through and intercept what's happening on the device. And if it's a managed app, we will let you go in and do what you need. If it's not, we have blocked it. We provide you that security that you do need and you do want. You have different settings that you can actually go in and you can allow users to bring things into the apps, but not take anything out if you want, block both directions. We give you a lot of knobs there. And so I do recommend you come to our booth, you go to the sessions that we're coming up on this, and so they can see it all and experience it a bit more. And so that UI I showed you, that's actually not tied to Intune MDM. So we provide you that security around the corporate apps, which you can set up. We call it MAM without enrollment, but it's really MAM optional of enrollment. Whatever enrollment state you're in, whether you're enrolled with Intune, some other third party, or none at all, you can go to that UI, set up your MAM policies, and you know that no matter the device, no matter the iOS device, it will work, no matter their state of enrollment. And we're going to keep the encryption on that device. We're going to make them require pins. We're going to prevent movement of data in and out on that device. And so some of those app restriction policies that we talk about, we showed enforcing corporate data access requirements like PIN, compliance, jailbreak section, preventing data leakage. We already spoke about copy, cut, paste. You can prevent saving in or saving as to certain locations like Dropbox or some of those other scenarios that users who may not be so ill-intentioned, but they're just used to using certain other tools, you can effectively help them not do that by providing some of this constraints. We enforce encryption of the data at rest, no matter what the encryption policy is for before for that device, and we do it through the OS. And so we require that a PIN, effectively that requires a PIN is set up so that the whole OS becomes encrypted as well. And we do allow you to perform app level selective wipe just for the corporate data. How do you get into MAM? It's already built into your office productivity apps. But if it's not in there, it is in there. Apart from that, we have provided certain companion apps for browsing, like the managed browser. And for your own apps or third parties, we provide both the app wrapping tool, which effectively does require to rebuild the app, except with just a wrapper around it. So if you don't know the developer, that's fine. No code changes. You just walk through a wrapping process. But if you do know the developer, or you do know the person building it, really, you can use our SDK to create an app which also gives you all the settings that you get with your Office apps, and then deploy that through whatever mechanism you use today in Intune or otherwise. There's an expanding ecosystem, and it's just really cool to see how more and more partners, both within and outside Microsoft, are coming on board. I encourage you to go to that location to see what's the latest there. But that includes all the Office apps. We've spoken to Box, Adobe, and this is going to continue growing and growing. So as we come back to where we started, wherever you are on this spectrum, there are various tools that we have provided to help you manage the devices. In some cases, we know you want more to make it even more compelling, and we are working on that, and there's a whole lot coming, which we've alluded to in this conference, some of which has already been shown that we've just delivered, including from Brad's presentation, some sessions yesterday, even earlier on other platforms. And fundamentally, we continue to deliver and drive to improve our cross-platform solutions for you, so that no matter your device, no matter your platform, you can have peace of mind and enable your users get the best out of these platforms. We've had a whole bunch of sessions, as I've mentioned. the one I was talking about that focuses on conditional access is the third one, secure access to Office 365, SaaS and on-premise apps with Azure AD and Intune. Did a lot there. And then if you are interested in things like Android, there was a great session this morning by my my coworker, Chris. And so I recommend you go in and look at that. And so there's a lot more there for you to look at. Thank you for bearing with me. Still got some time for questions. Again, please evaluate. And there are quite a few IT Pro resources that you can get to in this conference. Again, thanks again. Have a good rest of the conference. There are some microphones on either side, or you can come up and we'll talk to if not enough people are waiting. But please try to use the microphones first.
Can all the settings in iOS managed, or only certain settings? To be precise, can I block people upgrading to the next iOS versions or beta versions?
So the question is, can you block people from upgrading to newer versions of iOS? Apple has not allowed that or enabled that. So that's just something directly from they themselves. They don't provide any way to prevent a user on a device from moving on to the next version.
So what kind of certifications program that Microsoft and Apple do when they release the new iOS versions? I'm sure that there are multiple relations. What kind of certifications that they do today to have a mutual agreement that they are going to release? Because a lot of times there are a lot of dependent applications, both sides.
That's fair. So just to make sure I get the question, you're saying what kind of certifications or what kind of work does Apple and Microsoft do together to ensure that that's a very smooth and seamless process? So typically, not just Microsoft, Apple, they do provide betas and a lot of information about the coming OS. We have syncs with them that we talk to about any certain issues that come up here and there. For if there's something in particular that you want to talk about our process, then please let us know. But we continue working to refine that process. For everything around MDM and all that, we do constant testing right from the early betas to ensure that we're up to date and ready to move that forward. When it comes to some of the other apps, we're improving the process that we have with the makers of all these apps, both internally and externally, to create that seamless thing. But there's no checklist we have with Apple where they're like, okay, for not just us, because they have to do it for every MDM vendor. Like, okay, everything that you've provided, let's all walk through it together. We don't have that. It's really up to not just us, but every app developer and every service provider on Apple's platform to be ready for that.
The reason why is most of the cases always something breaks.
didn't quite hear that well, but I heard a lot of reasons are around particular applications and so on. Okay, I understand that. That's fair. That's fair feedback. Pretty much you want us to try to push better to improve that process. Yep.
Hi. I'd love to bring in our next wave of iOS devices into Intune.
Okay.
Something that we've done in the past is do an iCloud backup and restore to help smooth that transition for users.
Yeah.
Will bringing it into iTunes in a managed fashion complicate or break kind of an iCloud backup and restore, or is there another way that's recommended to bring data forward?
So typically, the OS will not back up the management profile, which is really what makes it enrolled. So that's not really an available option. Uh-huh. That being said, we are doing work right now to communicate that better. So not so much communicate that it doesn't back up, but the process, the various ways you should go through when it comes specifically to that scenario of backing up and restoring. Sometimes there are certain items that are left within the browser that may interact with a new enrollment. And so there are certain things that we're actually at this moment working to get out into our blogs and our support. So pretty watch out for that in the next week or two.
Okay, so to go from unmanaged and then a backup and then a restore onto a managed device.
Everything around backup and restore, whether it's unmanaged or you did backup a managed device or not. So all of that we are working to publicize in a huge blog post. It would be hard to walk through everything right here at this point.
Coming soon. All right, thank you.
Yep.
How scalable is this? How many devices can it manage in one instance of Intune?
Make sure I heard that right. You're asking how many devices can Intune manage?
Right.
So we're actually in the process of changing that, improving that significantly. I don't have the core numbers on me right here. I don't know if Vlad is here. Yes, so in terms of fully online, as he mentioned, there's about 50,000. I knew that's what it was. I think it's edged up a bit, but in general, we're working hard with, coupled with the new Azure UI and some of that work there to greatly increase our online-based only solution, the performance for that, or scalability for that.
Okay, so if we had an on-prem instance, it may be a little bit larger scalability?
Yes, because we provide an option for a hybrid deployment with Intune cloud services and Config Manager on-prem, where you would connect both services. And so for a lot of your iOS and those devices, even though you'll be using the UI from Config Manager, it effectively uses the online service to manage those devices for you.
Okay.
And it helps you with your scale.
Okay, and as far as shared devices in general, it'd probably be best to go visit the folks in the expo with Intune to talk more about shared device and how those are done with Intune.
Now, when you say shared devices, do you mean just kiosk mode, or
so
is it around?
There's the kiosk mode with the single app, but there's also clinical uses where multiple, let's say, nurses need to be able to come in their shift and grab a device and then use it and have the security there, but also identify who's using the device. So having multiple, I guess, profiles, for lack of a better word at the moment.
So having multiple
users per one device.
Assigned to one, okay, yeah. Right. Yes, I think that's one of the things that would be better to talk about there, where we have time to really dig into.
Fair enough.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Sorry, one.
So in OS X, we can report on FileVault and Intune. Are there any plans to add management of FileVault keys? Because the reporting is useful because it's compliance, but it's not very useful to individuals who lose their keys.
Okay, and so just to make sure I heard that question right, it's really around the management of the FileVault key, and ideally being able to use an institution key and back that up to certain locations and things of that nature.
Exactly.
Yes, it's part of the security work that we're focusing on as well, in addition to the...
Do you know about when that might be available?
At this point, I can't give you a timeline yet, but we're getting enough pressure and asks about this that we know we need to communicate really soon to you the time frame for that. But we're working on it on the roadmap. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks. Yeah?
Hey, regarding DEP, right? And
yeah.
You highlighted that DEP is meant for making it easier for users to enroll their devices, or that's one aspect of it, right? But in your demo here, we clearly saw that first thing first, you had to enter in the username and password twice. Whereas if they weren't using DEP, they would just enter it one into the company portal. And I know there's ideas behind, at least I feel that you should silently push that company portal to the device using BPP and not have the user enter in that information. Any work being done on that? Anything you can share?
Okay, so there's a couple of things in there.
Right.
Just trying to back in a little bit. There are various reasons you will use DEP. It simplifies the process end-to-end, including your process as an ITM and getting devices out there. I do understand that need to enter the information twice, if it's going to be a DEP device assigned to a user, is an extra step. You weigh that against the benefits of having an MDM device locked to your institution, not having to have things go through you. If you want to use supervised, that is a better way, ideally, but I understand that. That being said, there is a general feedback from what I hear about our company portal and being able to push that silently and have almost similar to how you may push email profiles or things like that, where the user may just enter there, once they log on once, things are taken care of for them for the whole process. So that's good feedback. There are various things we're looking at for improving the company portal flow. We have started investigating ways to simplify that process of enrollment as a whole, but I will go and check for that particular item. I actually don't know about that particular item right now.
So, I saw a demo of the Azure web-based console.
Of the Azure web-based one?
Console?
Yeah.
The wizard-driven interface is really nice. The integration of the app store is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any plans to put that into the hybrid console?
So you're asking about the, just to make sure I understand,
just the functionality,
adding about the same functionality,
yeah, the functionality
being
like
added into hybrid.
Wizard-driven, embedded stores, you'd have to get the link, the deep links and the bitmap and everything.
Okay, so that's changing pretty much the general UI framework of the hybrid case to match more that. That's what you're asking about, if that's something we're working on.
Right.
I don't have the answer for you here. We are, in general, discussing about that hybrid interface and where we're taking that, things of that nature, but I don't have anything right now to say, yes, for sure, it's going to move. No. Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you prevent jailbreak devices from enrollment? If yes, at what step?
Can we prevent jailbreak devices from enrollment? So the key thing we need on that device is the company portal. So I do believe the moment the company portal is launched, we do check for jailbreak and prevent things there. So I'll have to confirm with that, but I know the moment the company portal is launched, we do check for jailbreak detection. And so that may be one of the things that we can easily get to.
Like when you check for compliance, if this device is not compliant, then how will it prevent it from continuing?
So when we check for compliance, it's one of the things we look for. But I'm saying every time that app is launched, we check for jailbreak detection. So we do it early enough in that process. I'm not aware of anywhere in our UI currently that you can set, like, don't enroll without jailbreak detection. And so that's why I definitely want to take that back.
I mean, make sure. It will be nice if the user will get a pop-up message that this device is jailbreak, you cannot enroll this device.
Makes sense. Just want to make sure I didn't take too much time from people. So, maybe it's the last two questions, and then you can come up, or we can just talk a bit more, or at the booth. I'll be there throughout tomorrow afternoon, or we can talk a bit after this. I have some time.
Just a quick one. Does device affinity actually matter when shooting that config profile at the user? For instance, if Joe or John Doe logged onto Jane Doe's device,
mm-hmm.
and he had the same config, the one that you spun up, would he get that, or only on his device that he's assigned to?
So let's take a step back. this alluding to, I think, the question around shared devices?
Because I meant more like a user policy on a domain computer. Does the device matter?
The device is linked to a user or not. So in the case that it's linked to a user, it is the device that is linked to that user that will get the policy. Now, the thing is the company portal, when you log in, that is what assigns that device to that user.
So if John and Jane had the same user config pointed at them, and John logged onto an iOS device not assigned to him, would he get that user config policy?
No, but again, that login on matters. If he's logging on the IW portal, that's fine. If he's logging on to the corporate, the company portal, it's already assigned to someone else, and so there's something else that happens there.
So but it's basically not like a user policy on a domain Windows computer.
No.
That has to be assigned to them.
It has to be assigned in some way. The ownership has to change if you want that person's device when you log on with a company portal to get the new user policy at this point.
I have a small three questions. One, like I've seen a scenario where Office apps updates happening, so most of the time map policies it's getting broken and all the apps doesn't work. That's one issue which I'm having. And the second one, iOS updates, that breaks everything, again, most of the time.
Sorry, I can't hear you a bit, can you?
Okay, so three issues here. So one, if there is any iOS Office updates happening, so most of the time I've seen everything's getting broken, MAM policies. And second, same with iOS updates as well. And
okay.
What are the measures have you taken to get those addressed? Are we doing a check if any Office updates, anything has been pushed? Is there a check being done between the Intune and all the Office product group before it's been rolled out or it's been pushed, it's been done?
Okay.
Because when I check, I do not find any updates at all when I escalate it to all the groups here.
That's fair. Those are two questions. Was there a third one?
Yeah. Third one is related to sending in, like for example, I'm having a few apps which I'm pushing through as managed apps. When I'm trying to send the logs, it gives a message that unless it's been configured in native client, you cannot send out the logs. Mm-hmm. And since we are using the Outlook app, I cannot send out the mails with the native client. And if you need to configure a native client, it doesn't allow it. So what are the workaround or what we could do to ensure we send out the logs?
Okay, that third one I think we need to dig into a lot more. Yeah. And people are moving on. The first two about what we're doing, we do understand that pretty much every team that has the different apps works in a different way. And so, yes, we are coordinating with them. We do take the feedback that we need to improve that process, and we are currently improving that process to be a lot better, mainly about keeping you up to speed if anything comes up. Because there was, in some cases, there were certain issues that came up, like the weekend of iOS 10 when it was released, or things of that nature that at that point, it takes time to get through and to resubmit back to the Apple Store and things of that nature. But we have gotten feedback just about improving our communications to you, and you can come give a bit more feedback there.
But still, mainly on the Office apps, we could do increase more, right? iOS 10 is different, but Office apps, which is being done, so there should be a check done before you're pushing some of the apps.
That's good feedback. Pretty much you're saying, even when Office itself updates apps, there are things that ended up breaking that you're surprised it broke.
My Outlook is completely getting wiped every time. I cannot even work on my email at all.
Yeah.
So that's a major thing.